Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Remember the demolition of La Gloria in San Antonio? It was 2002 that the wrecking ball knocked down the beloved old restaurant and nightclub. It was built in 1932 on the west side corner of Brazos and Laredo, and now it's gone forever. Since the loss of La Gloria, west side activists have been working to identify other locations of historic and cultural significance and save them from being erased from the landscape. Do you think the city made a mistake by giving permission to destroy La Gloria? What about other locations on the west side? Should they be given as much historic consideration as other buildings in San Antonio? Call in. Let us know. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. In the studio to discuss the West Side Historic Preservation, Graciela Sanchez, Director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, and Tomas Ibarra Fausto. He is also with the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center. Welcome to The Source.
Well, thanks for having us.
So, La Gloria, I remember, you know, like it was yesterday, how people were, you know, activated and crystallized and motivated to try and save that beautiful old building, but unable to convince the city to grant it historic preservation status, and so it was knocked down. And have you been successful in trying to prevent other, you know, buildings of that sort of nature from being destroyed?
Well, the Esperanza was part of a coalition of organizations at that time that also included the San Anto Cultural Arts Center, the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, and basically the working class community of the west side of San Antonio, who knew the history of this amazing building and wanted to save it. And I think historically they had, our communities, because I also grew up in that neighborhood, had seen since the 1970s through urban renewal, or what we say urban removal, was the destruction of a very working class community. And when La Gloria fell, this community, which had mobilized, said, no more. This is it. We cannot let another building fall. And thereby, you know, this creation of what we now call the West Side Preservation Alliance comes to exist.
So, Tomas, you're like a historian or someone who understands the history of San Antonio's West Side. What is it about these old buildings that need to be taken care of? Why, you know, if a building like La Gloria wasn't being utilized, if it had fallen into disrepair, maybe it should have been knocked down.
Well, I think that there's a tangible kind of an intangible. The tangible is a sort of like the built environment. But the intangible are like all the stories that are embedded. Like, for example, Casa Maldonado has a huge importance in terms of political history of San Antonio. The stories of, you know, Lermas, those are two other sites that we've been working to preserve, you know, for conjunto music. The West Side is very, very rich in working class. I would say it was like Harlem. You know, it's a city, it's a place that has a major theater. Harlem has the Apollo, we have the Alameda, Harlem has jazz, we have Tejano music, you know, famous singers, we have Lidia Mendoza, a lot of the people that lived and worked on the West Side that are part of that embeddedness of the tangible and the intangible. And so the buildings may not be what the Conservation Society or other people would consider significant buildings to preserve. But they're important because, one, we have to change the meaning of what that means, what is significant, to whom and for what and for whom. And so I think that part of what we're trying to think is that it not only represents like a particular community, like the Mexican-American community, but all working-class communities throughout the country have places that need to be preserved, places where they maintain their culture.
Well, but talking about the Mexican-American community and the historic significance of these buildings, it's not just for the San Antonio Mexican American community, but also the national community, particularly like the Alameda and some of these places and institutions in San Antonio, because they were the first. They kind of set the mold on how to create a vibrant and community, Latino community, and that would could engage the entire city and be leaders, right?
Right. It's also, you know, in terms of you know, like the whole culture, you know, the theaters, the printing presses, the, you know, the places where the Spanish language press was significant. Artes Gráficas, which is right next to the Alameda, is still there. You know, it's one of the buildings. There are a lot of buildings that have historical presence. I think what one important thing is that San Antonio has sort of like a fantasy heritage. You know, the Riverwalk and whatever, it's an kind of a created idea of what the real culture of San Antonio is, the working class communities, and the West Side is one example. And so we're concerned with that fundamental culture of the city, which is the Mexican working class community.
So recently, y'all had an event, the fourth annual Paseo de West Side. What did y'all do? What was the takeaway from that?
Again, we decided to start working with the Office of Historic Preservation and to identify and the work that we're doing on the West Side and to give people tours of the neighborhood so that they could see these buildings. They can also see what's been raised, because we're challenged. On the one hand, we have the office.
What's been lost?
Well, the Office of Historic Preservation is trying to now help us save some of these buildings, but then you have code compliance that says let's knock down anything that's old and needs a paint job. And we're trying to help find some changes in policy so that, you know, we have some members of the staff of the city that are not just going to go in there and just say it needs to come down immediately and give people 24 hours, but instead maybe we can find some monies to, you know, help people fix their foundations or a roof or a paint job, you know, simple things like that. But it seems like there's no money going in that direction for the West Side. So we gave tours. We had the musicians come and sing and perform. We had pláticas about, you know, pan dulce and what the names of the different pan de dulce that you eat. Tomás gave a discussion on lotería, and there were just many different workshops that we had. And we also found archival films from the 1920s and the 30s and the 40s, and people were there to help us identify people in those silent movies.
So when you would go on a walking tour, I guess you would like show people like significant buildings. It could just be like a common house, but the way it was put together, this is how people lived back here in San Antonio in this neighborhood in the 30s during the Depression and during post-war, and all that's in danger of being lost. It's being knocked down.
And correct. And to also have the community members who showed up, and they came from all sides of the city, to if they had any connections to any of these buildings or these neighborhoods, to also be able to share their knowledge, because the experience and the expertise comes from the community as well.
Okay, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we do want to hear from callers. The number is 614-8980. Tell us your memories of growing up on the West Side, and talk about how you have love for some of these buildings and you want them saved, or maybe you don't. Call us, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about West Side Preservation in San Antonio. It's an old part of the city, one of the oldest parts of the city, a neighborhood that was vibrant and exciting. It's been compared to Harlem in New York. This is where Latino culture, it was a cradle of Latino culture in the United States. And people want to make sure that it's not knocked down and moved out, and because it's not as pretty as some folks would like. like it to be. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-8980, with me in the studio to talk about this issue. Graciela Sanchez, director of the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center. Tomas Ibarra Fausto, he's a historian scholar with the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center. And we've got your phone calls, and let's go to the phones. Steve is just joined us. Steve, welcome to The Source.
Yes, hi. Quick question. As far as the implications of destroying, you know, military installations that also had a large impact to the Latino community post-1940s, like Kelly Air Force Base in particular, I mean, what's going on is in regards to trying to save those installations as well and those heritage foundations?
Like on the base itself, or some of the places that sprang up around it that supported it?
Well, obviously Kelly Air Force Base is no longer, but yes, just the support of the Latinos who helped to create San Antonio as the military city that it is currently.
Okay, Steve, thank you for the question. Of course, Kelly Air Force Base was a great springboard for Latino middle class in San Antonio, allowed people to put money away and send their kids to college and climb that ladder of economic mobility. And so what is there to preserve about Kelly Air Force Base, Tomas?
Well, it's not about Kelly Air Force Base per se, but it's about information and communication and the recognition about the impact of the military on the Latino community. The Latino community the military is core to the culture of the community, having served in every war from the Revolutionary War up to now. So it's very important for us to be cognizant of those families and so doing oral histories, preserving the stories of the women in the military, the men in every world war, the stories are very, very important. I think part of the military or part of anything is two things. One is place, and the other is story. So what we're trying to do is preserve the places, for example, the places that were support systems to the Kelly Air Force Base. And I think you're right. It was very important in terms of creating actually a middle class, a Chicano middle class in San Antonio, having a job there, a permanent job. So preserving those stories, I think, is very important, because those things like the military are still much a part of the community.
And if you don't preserve your own stories and tell your own stories, who will? I mean, you end up with someone like Ken Burns and his recollection of the war, and he just glosses over the Latino contributions. So let's go back to the phones. Patty wants to join the conversation. Patty, welcome to The Source.
Hi. I'm just driving back into San Antonio. I took my mom, who grew up in San Antonio, West Side, late 30s and through the Second World War. She's 83 years old, and I took her to see her 87-year-old brother in Des Moines. And on the way back, we trickled down through childhood friends of theirs that they knew here in San Antonio. And so we had spent the entire weekend reminiscing about places like La Gloria and the Alameda and talking about this whole thing. And in some way, it was... her friend Joanne did not know that La Gloria was gone. And I said, you know, the whole thing and the struggle between saying, we need to save this building because its architecture is unique and this, that, and the other, and separating the intangible. And I think it's so important that people and the places that are significant to the community are so important, and that, yeah, without the structures, the memories of what took place there, the music, the politics, all of that that developed San Antonio, we lose that. And I think it's very important. So I'm a big supporter of West Side preservation. But I just wanted to comment on that. This is very apropos, and that we still need to be able to preserve these places while the people who lived it can tell us the stories can remember. Like I said, I thought the film festival was great because it gave a chance to identify people that, you know, in another generation, we won't know who they are because the people who know them will be gone.
Exactly. Well, Patty, thank you for your comments. Graciela, any reaction?
Well, I was going to say, I hope you can join us and call the Esperanza at 228 0201 so that we can add you to our mailing list and maybe gather your mother's and her family's stories, your stories, and share also with this photo archive that we're also putting together. But, you know, it's again, learning as we've learned from our elders, from what we call the sabias and the sabios, the wise ones. My mother specifically was kind of instrumental in helping us try to save Casa Maldonado, which at that point was just called the Pink Building, because she said, you know, people, I'm almost 90 years old, and people ask me, you know, what was the neighborhood like? And she says, and they're just about to destroy this building, and I'm only going to be around not much longer, she said. So when I'm gone, who's going to tell that story? So the building had to be the storyteller. And, you know, we were able to save that building.
A monument to the past. But, you know, the West Side has not been an area of economic, you know, affluence. It didn't have big name architects attached to these buildings. Some of them weren't built to last, you know, 100 years. So is there a challenge?
But I would challenge that. I think a lot of those buildings have been able to survive 100 years because they were built in a moment where people who built thought about building for hundreds of years. Nowadays, we have builders who build a structure that's going to last for 30 years. So if you know, the building of the Casa de Cuentos is, you know, 100 years old. The house in the back, which was, you know, for the poorer people, is even older, and we've been able to stabilize it and renovate it. So that's not true. I think, again, we want to what the conservationists in the world have tended to do is to save 2- and 3-story homes of the middle class and the wealthy, and I think we've been struggling, the Latino community, the Black community, you know, to recognize that slave quarters are also an important building to save, because that is the history of the Black community, and these small shotgun homes are really important as well to save.
So now we're seeing some economic, redevelopment in these neighborhoods. People are moving back in. South Presa, you know, that's kind of come alive. Smart new little businesses popping up there. Restaurants become trendy. Is that going to cause a problem as people move in?
Well, I think, you know, again, we have to sort of like, it's a balance of working with how do you preserve and maintain, but also are open to innovation and change, because culture itself is not a static kind of thing. It's always changing, you know, it's always adding and subtracting, and it's only how to deal with, I think fundamentally it's changing the perception and the codes. For example, in San Antonio, the Conservation Society had, if they were talking about architecture, they had a thing called German vernacular. Well, the West Side Preservation community worked together to help them change that. So now in their list of the buildings they're trying to save is a thing called, Mexican vernacular architecture. So now there's a way in which, you know, we have to change from the very basic, just like Graciela was saying, to understand that the slave quarters were as important as a big house. You know, vernacular architecture and the houses that people build, you know, stone by stone or plank by plank, every payday they could buy a little bit of lumber. Those have a very important story because they also represent the majority of people, not only ethnically, but the majority of people in the country are still working class people. So this is a good example of how working class communities and working class aesthetics and working class culture and working class stories can revive a true culture of San Antonio.
So let's talk about Lerma's very quickly. That is on Zarzamora. It is the old Conjunto nightclub. A lot of people say that's where Conjunto sound was sort of defined right there. So, but it's got a lot of issues. You know, people are wondering, can it be saved?
It can be saved. Again, we just have to have the will and get the council and the county just to find some money. If we can give $30 million to the Western Museum, why can't we find $1 million to help renovate and restore Lerma's? You know, $30 million versus $1 million. Every day I read the paper and I find that there's more money allocated for another project. How do we say the West Side working class community and culture also deserve to be preserved and saved? And so let's put the money where it belongs. We have been able to get architects and engineers to donate their services, so we already have the plans. We know it's going to cost about $1 million. So now, you know, Esperanza has put money up to do basic, you know, preservation, but it's going to need a new roof, a new structure, but we can preserve it. And now it has not only local and state recognition, but national recognition.
Okay, well, we'll continue to follow the developments at Lerma's. I want to thank both of you all for coming in to talk about West Side redevelopment or historic preservation. Graciela Sanchez, Director, Esperanza Peace and Justice Center. Tomas Ibarra Ifausto, he is a scholar and historian at Esperanza Peace and Justice Center. Thank you for tuning in. This is Texas Public Radio, David Martin Davies, The Source. Thank you.